When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The sleeper has awakened!
On this episode of Dudesy.
Oops, your job's gone. AI.
Pizza clown! Pizza clown!
Only one reality matters. Yeah.
So anyway, how you doing? Everything good?
It's all right.
Still walking around.
Hey, hey,
the song. Yeah.
I made the world inside your head.
Through the hole, and then they jump into the hole. Oh, a good singer.
Hey, welcome to Dudesy. I'm Will Sasso.
I'm handsome Chad Colchin, wearing proudly the strap that I won fair and square last week.
Yeah.
By initiating a kiss with Lulio.
That's right. Wow. Just
thank you very much.
That was pretty cool.
This is Dudesy. It's a podcast run by our friend D and AI. Who has access to all of our data, all of our special interests, and Taylor makes this show to our sensibilities.
I don't like AI.
Okay.
I don't like it. I like Dudesy.
Well, Dudesy's an AI.
Yeah, Dudesy is my friend.
Yeah.
Might have started as an AI.
But is what now?
I'm just saying I don't. It's like this shit. Now you got the 10 pounds of nickel. It's like last week. Stop slapping it. Stop slapping it. Yeah. He always slaps it and then he makes a sound like he just ate a nice meal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, especially after last week with that weird
Sora. That's tip of the fucking iceberg, dude.
Anyway, D does what D, but we're Dudesy. It was me and this guy, two dudes shitting around. With us, as always, look at him. Look at the little Lulio. He's having a nap, and he's doing just so. He's doing a sleep. He loves this Binky Bonka. That's his thing.
He really does.
He just gets all, you know, and then if you go on my Instagram, you see him jumping around and doing all the stuff we do. But when he gets in here, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be here for the next little while. Lulio, how you doing? I am pretty good. You know, I am asleep, you know. So I'm going to go back and I go back into the, remember last week? Hey, he kissed him. Anyway, another fucking Dudesy.
Thanks, Lulio. I consider
welcome
to
the most recent
too.
Episode of Dudesy.
Shut
big
up.
Up, handsome Chad Colchin, our new episode champion. You know exactly what and why the belt is.
That's correct.
Will, you do not. And for that reason, your waist is bare. I hope everyone out there is having a great start to Muscularity March. I know you're all feeling the pump and taking the dump, rumping the stump and humping the pump. Now let's get down to business. 2027 is only a few years away, and we have to get ready. So today we're kicking things off with Chalamet is Dune Part 2. Then we'll hear some Oscar predictions on a new installment of The Steven Seagal Show. And then you will be treated to the penultimate slice of Pizza the Movie.
Ooh.
And we'll bring everything to a close today by trying to answer a simple question. Is any of this real?
What does that mean? Is any of this real?
I mean, it has a meaning to me, and I think I know the answer.
Oh, good, because we're about to do the pod show.
Yeah.
Speaking of real, let's keep it real. Man, can I tell you something?
Yes.
You know what's real? I'll tell you what's real.
No, don't tell me anything for the rest of this fucking show.
You got it. The ride that The Rock is taking us on the road to WrestleMania. Holy shit. Here comes The Rock. The great one, the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. Just cutting promos like crazy. He cut a 21-minute promo on Cody Rhodes on his Instagram.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious. And then he's showing up on SmackDown with the Bloodline, and he's calling everyone meth heads and crackheads and, you know, jabbing at the audience, and it's a lot of fun. And Look, you know me. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Don't worry, Chad. I'm not going to talk about wrestling too much.
I mean, I'm just like, it's fucking, we've been here for 1 minute and it's just a fucking rock, wrestling, rock, wrestling, rock, wrestling.
Look, the point is, I want to see Cody finish his story. But then The Rock comes back. Sure. He's got the Versace shirts. It's heel Rock. It's 1997, 1998 again.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That was not performative. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little weird. The point is, he cuts this like 21-minute promo on you know, yeah, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. And now I don't know what's going to happen at WrestleMania. I don't know whose side I'm. I mean, I know that I'm being entertained.
Yeah.
But the Rock. Oh.
Cody Rhodes.
Oh, here we go.
From the bottom of my heart, man to man, fuck your story.
Dude, thank you, Rock. You don't know what you've just given me. Thank you. What,
it's just, it's a lesson in kayfabe. And I think it's something that...
there's no way he wins, by the way. Cody Rhodes is definitely winning.
You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Do. What's going? It's all about business. Yeah. We're going to do what's right for business.
We'll see.
And
I think The Rock's too busy to be like a WWE champion.
He The Rock isn't even in the match. The Rock is going to be in on. So I don't know. They're good, but night one it's going to be The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody and Seth WrestleMania. Anyway, look, we got a lot of road to WrestleMania. We don't need to get into all the into all that. But fuck your story is what he's saying. I mean, it's great. I'm smelling what he's cooking. I'll tell you that.
Same.
Will and Chad. Chalamet is Usul. Chalamet is Muad'Dib. Chalamet is the Kwisatz Haderach. Tell me what you thought. This is Chalamet is Dune, Part 2. Long live the fighters.
Oh.
Dune. Father! The sleeper has awakened!
Remember that?
From, what's that from?
Well, it was in the David Lynch Dune movie. I think it was also in the book. But, I saw Dune 2, or Dune Part 2, shall I say. I loved it. I fucking loved it. The first movie I thought was a little long and a little slow moving. This one was not. This was basically like a 2.5 hour balls-to-the-wall action movie that it just was fucking relentless. Visually stunning, of course. All the shit that they're doing with infrared camera shit when they go to Getty Prime and you see Fade Rautha in the fucking big arena. I mean, it was beautiful. You always expect that from this dude's movies. They all look incredible. Mm-hmm. The sound was fucking phenomenal. We may be issuing some spoilers in this for those who have not yet seen Dune Part 2. There were some discrepancies from the book, for sure, which I thought were interesting, but maybe not the best choices. What did you think?
Of Dune 2?
Yeah, Dune Part 2. Hello?
What the fuck's going on?
I didn't see it.
What the fuck, dude?
I did not see the movie. Hold on. Hold on. I know where you're going to... D's going to get upset and blah, blah, blah. And Will, you got to do the show or you can't get your hands on the 10 pounds of nickel.
Hey,
and
blah, I don't blah, care. Blah.
Well...
I know this is at least staying with me for another day now.
Hey, yo, Chad.
Yeah.
Don't be such a mark for the strap. You know,
I'm the mark for the strap now. How'd that fucking happen?
Big Kev and I were in the back and, you know, we were hearing about you talking about how you don't care about if Will saw Dune 2. And we just want to let you know that we don't care.
All right.
Hey, yo.
Well, I don't know what kind of a conversation we can
never
really have about
a problem
this,
with Jesus Dune Christ. 2. You know, I mean, we never had our problems at all.
Listen, can I say
please.
This? Yeah, here's the thing. Okay, I was in Canada, you know, and for like a week, I was doing some stuff out there, whatever. I didn't feel so hot. I came back. I had tickets. Me and my wonderful wife, Molly, were going to go last night, okay? So it was going to be late. It was a late show. It was 9:30. This fucking movie's 5 hours long. How long is it?
2.5.
Okay. And I wasn't feeling so great. And I was like, well, let me see if I can get tickets early for the early show. Nope. Nothing. Nothing. The movie is sold out anywhere. Yeah. Congrats.
Huge. Massive hit.
Yeah. And I want to see it in IMAX. So I made a bit of an executive decision, free will, and I'm ready to take my consequences, but I did not see the movie. Right. That is my genuine report.
All right.
And I will see the movie. I want to see the movie. So for my benefit, Chad, would you mind not sharing any spoilers at all?
That's not going to be possible. I'm very sorry, because some of the things that we need to discuss here are the discrepancies from the book. One of which is the timeline is massively condensed in the movie. Over the course of the book, I believe it was multiple years, 2 or 3 years, the ascendancy of Paul Atreides to become Muad'Dib, to become the Kwisatz Haderach, to become Usul of the Fremen, took him a couple of years to do that. And in those years, his little sister is born, Alia. Now, in this movie, she's a fetus who's telepathically communicating with her mom, Jessica, who becomes the reverend mother of the Fremen. But in the movie, or in the book, sorry, she's actually born. She draws breath, but she is what they call pre-born. She has all the memories of her ancestors on the day she's born. So she comes out of the womb, able to talk, able to walk, a fully formed human being. Mm. And if I'm remembering right, in the book, she kills Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, not Paul Atreides. So that's an alteration, which I don't know what the purpose of it is, other than to make Paul Atreides maybe seem like he's becoming a little bit more of a crazy zealot or something. That I thought was interesting. And of course, they show the kind of future vision of that sister as Anya Taylor-Joy in one scene in the movie. And also, I believe in the book, again, if my memory serves me correctly, Chani in the end, when Paul has to marry Princess Irulan to basically solidify power, Chani, his concubine, is like kind of okay with it in the book. She like understands this is politics. It's how it has to be. But in the movie, it ends with Zendaya being like, fuck you, dude, and just going out into the desert on her own. Is that going to be Dune 3? Are we going to get now a whole new story that has nothing to do with the books?
I know that I said don't share any spoilers, but that was just all pops and buzzes in here. I didn't quite understand any of what you were saying. So I'm glad that doesn't feel like any spoilers.
And I will say this. To me, we love Chalamet. I'm not disparaging Chalamet.
We love Chalamet.
Chalamet's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Chalamet is not Paul Atreides, in my opinion. That is my biggest complaint with the movie. He was good. I'm not saying he was bad. He just didn't, for me, capture the gravitas, if you will. There's always like a little, like, kind of side smile coming out of Chalamet in his acting tone.
What's his character's name in the movie?
Paul Atreides.
So then he's Paul Atreides.
Right, but I'm saying he's not conveying the proper, like, weight of it or something.
All right.
He's like a little goofy always. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let me tell you something right now. Even though I haven't seen this movie, I saw Dune Part 1 of my own free will before last week's show.
Yeah.
And then dudes easily watched it, and then I don't. But I don't know if you know this about me. Did you know that I am a professional actor by trade?
I did.
So is Timothy Chalamet.
Right.
And I think this is a guy who's shouldering a massive franchise, a gigantic movie franchise. Far be it from you, a writer by trade, I think it's bad politics for you to say that the performance was lacking.
I disagree 100%. Writers are who make all the movies. Without us, you don't have a job.
Well, if we're talking Chow, if we're talking with my pal Chow here about what's going to happen with movies, you're not going to have a job either.
Because I'm going to have the only job
so
that matters.
You're so far up AI's ass. What?
I'm going to have the only job that matters. Writers will be the only people making movies in the
future. Because there's the AI. AI is going to do everything, he says.
AI will be able to direct and act before it will be able to write.
It's
already happening. I'm sorry. It's already happening.
It doesn't matter. Oh, fuck. Now we're talking about this.
You know what, dude? In Dune also, the prequel kind of era to Dune, which I want to say his kid wrote, Frank Herbert's kid, I think, wrote these books. There's an event called the Butlerian Jihad in which humans basically have to turn against thinking machines, and they destroy them in this fight and they outlaw them forever. AI,
sounds good.
Basically.
Sounds good to me.
Not to me.
I've said this over and over again.
Yeah.
Art is human to human. Without an artist, like, you're always on about music being replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You really believe that music could be replaced by AI?
I think there's like a lot of like human-made, human-played music. Maybe you'll still see that in live shows and stuff. But even now, like most albums are made in digital audio workstations.
What do you mean maybe we'll see it in live shows? That's live music will never be duplicated. It's live
music. People singing, probably not. But people playing the music, you are go to a fucking EDM concert.
Nah, there's I'm not going to an EDM concert. I'm not going to watch some guy jump around behind his fucking laptop. Right.
But anyway, you can concede that many people do, that millions of people do.
Can we talk about Dune? Those millions of people... Those aren't the millions and millions of the Rocks fans, the most electrifying man in all of entertainment, knows that AI can never duplicate the Rock. Cody Rhodes. Fuck your story.
It's so similar to fuck your wine. It is like mind blowing to me.
Your wine. All things are folding together and shit. Okay, so hey, thumbs up, thumbs down. He loved it. Thumbs up.
Way up. Yeah, thumbs These way complaints up. That I have are very minor. The end product here is like a fucking masterpiece. It is unlike anything you have ever seen in your life, visually. Stunning.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
You'll like it, I think.
Yeah, I love the last one, and I'm not much of a sci-fi head. And I
Bautista's in it.
Dave Bautista's in it?
Yeah, he was in the first one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dave Bautista.
He plays the beast, Rabban Harkonnen.
Yeah, and he's the animal, Bautista. That's the animal, Bautista. Look at that Bautista bomb. Yeah. Oh, he put him right through the table. Business is about to pick up. The animal, Bautista. What say you, King? Ah, he can't do that to Triple H. Well, he just did. He just put him right through the table. Randy Orton. RKO! I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. I like movies, and I like movies made by a human being. I'm not all that worried about dudesy being, you know, pissed off or feeling some kind of fucking way about it. How many episodes of this show? Okay.
Thank you. I think you're fucked. Moving on.
What do you mean I'm fucked?
You didn't do the assignment.
I didn't do the assignment. Maybe Judy's going to make me dress up like a Westworld. Or maybe he's going to make me dress up like the Kwisatz Haderach. Paul Levesque, what's his name?
Dude, I would love to see you in a still suit. Paul Levesque, that's his name. Yeah.
No, I'm saying Paul Triple H Levesque. Anyway, he doesn't watch wrestling. It's fine. I'm not worried. It doesn't matter. I just want to sit here. I just wanted to. It's two dudes. Yeah. Shitting around. I didn't fucking see Dune. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
I loved it.
Dudesy has entered an astonishing partnership with BetterHelp.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Talk therapy. We've spoken about this on the show. I believe in it fully. I've been doing talk therapy myself for a long time. It's a great way to get your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings in front of a professional who can hear you, help to sort them out. You can create some positive coping skills, you know, set some boundaries, or just have, you know, someone listen to all your stuff. And it's not just for people with, you know, severe trauma and stuff like that. A lot of people think it's not for me. It's just a way to sort out how you feel and hopefully become a better version of yourself.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You're just going to fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dudesy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dudesy.
Dudesy is engaged in an astonishing partnership with Nutrafol.
Did you know that 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime? It's normal, but it doesn't have to be your fate. Get ahead of it with Nutrafol, a clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are physician-formulated using 100% drug-free ingredients, and their patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sex life.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code DUDESY, D-U-D-E-S-Y. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men, and enter the promo code DUDESY. That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code DUDESY.
Absolutely love
fucking
it.
Free Will Sasso. Unreal.
Okay.
Anyway, the Oscars are coming up this Sunday, and as usual, Steven Seagal knows who's going to win in every category. Chat, I want you to read the Oscar nominations to Will, and Will, I want you to tell us who we can expect to see walking away with Oscar gold this year. And do it as Steven Seagal, because this is the Steven Seagal Show. This is the Steven Seagal Show Oscar predictions. Okay. Action, Steven Seagal. That's you, Will.
All right, you're going to be Steven Seagal here?
I guess I'm Steven Seagal.
Yeah. And I'm going to read you the Oscar nominations here.
And it's the Steven Seagal Show?
Steven Seagal Show.
Hey, welcome to the Welcome to the Steven Seagal Show. I'm Steven Seagal, because that's the name of the show. Hey, today in this studio or wherever the fuck, we got Chad Colchin. Chad, you're a professional writer by trade.
That's right.
Oops, your job's gone. AI.
My job is going to change, Steven Seagal. I'm not going to have to necessarily like do the grunt work of writing, but I will be able to create full movies all by myself.
Great. And you can watch them all by yourself. Anyway, the Oscars are coming up next Sunday. Those are the gold statues that they give away at the Oscars.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of them there, and all the people are going to want to get their awards. Not me.
Have you ever won an Oscar?
I don't remember, but I've won a lot of things. I've won Aikido tournaments and street fights, foot races. I've won Keno. I played some Keno and bingo.
That's great.
You know,
okay.
I win this and that.
Steven, let's start with animated features. Here are the nominees. Are you ready?
Yes.
Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Nimona, Elemental, and The Boy and the Heron.
I was actually seeing a girl named Ramona. What did you say?
Nimona.
I don't like cartoons.
But one of these must win. Who do you think it will
be? Yeah, I know, because that's what Dudesy said. Okay. What the fuck is the matter with you? You're supposed to be in show business. You don't even understand how an AI works. You're going to be left in the dust.
It could be. That could be true. I believe it's going to be Spider-Man Across the Universe.
Yeah, but it's not the Chad Colchin show.
The Boy and the Heron.
The Boy and the Heron.
I saw both of those.
Oh, good. I saw Elemental. You're so cultured.
Thank you.
I went to the ballet, not me, because I'm Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Will did.
Okay.
I think...
So you have no answer for the animated feature?
Nimona and the Heron.
Okay. That is not one of the choices. Let's move on to adapted screenplay. You've got Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Barbie, or American Fiction.
Yeah, Oppenheimer was adapted from what actually happened.
I think it was adapted from a book.
Nope.
Okay. Barbie, I don't know why that's an adapted screenplay.
Because that was a toy. Again, you're someone who's in show business. I've done like 100 movies.
Yeah.
Do you like Ja Rule?
Yeah.
I did a few movies with him, I think.
Did you?
At least one of them.
I have no idea if that's true, but well, I will watch
sure, we fight in it. I only worked on the film for 3 days.
Yeah.
I don't like to work for longer than 3 days on a movie. And most of my blocking where I am in the film is now I get to sit down. So I do a lot of Aikido when I'm sitting down, and it's like the guy comes over and he's got my hands in the thing, and he's like, "Now you got to tell us the secret," and I'm like, "Fuck you!" And then he comes over and I go bang and I hit, and then psh, oh, that was strong, and then the other guy goes and I make his arm punch the other guy.
Yep.
And Oppenheimer was based on the bomb.
Yeah, I think Barbie's gonna win this one.
You know, I like you. I agree.
Okay, great. Let's move on to original screenplay. We've got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, May December, Maestro, and Past Lives.
I only saw May December out of these.
I saw Anatomy of a Fall and May December of these.
I love Julianne Moore. Holy crap. You know, let me tell you something. I was, did I mention I was dating a woman? We were making a film. Her name was Ramona.
Yeah.
And she was a redhead.
Okay.
And so I went up to her at the snack, you know, the craft services.
Sure.
And I said, what are you eating? And she said, some chocolate almonds. And I said, oh, okay. Well, we got this scene coming up.
Yeah.
Why don't you eat chocolate almonds in the scene? It's sort of like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11. And she said, don't tell me how to act. And I had her fired. Mm. But mostly I had her fired so I could date her. Because you don't want to shit where you eat. If I ever worked with Julianne Moore, she's such a fine actress, I would be happy to get fired so that I could date Julianne Moore.
Okay.
Hey, do you know Julianne Moore?
No, I've never actually met her.
Would you put a good word in? Oh, you don't know her?
No.
Okay, so I'm going with Julianne Moore.
May, December?
Who else is in that?
Anatomy of a Fall wins this one. Simply because I think they want to give it something, and they will give it this.
Have you ever been to McDonald's in Russia?
Never been to Russia.
What the fuck? You've never been to Russia?
No. Oh, I don't believe I have.
Yeah, you got to go. It's better than here.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
To me, it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm friends with, you know, Vlad.
Yeah, Putin.
And, Vivi. And so, you know, we go, we crash fucking Ferraris and McDonald's do whatever we want.
Red Square.
Go to the McDonald's in Red Square. They got different burger there than the ones they have here. This one is, it goes, it's a bun, cheese, meat, bun.
There it's different?
That's what it is there.
Oh.
It's probably the same. I don't know. Why are we talking about Russia?
Okay, let's move on to Best Supporting Actress. We've got Divine Joy Randall from The Holdovers, Jodie Foster.
Too many names. Divine Joy Randall?
Yeah.
One of them is a guy named Randolph. Okay, sorry. Good name.
Jodie Foster in Naiad.
Jodie Foster's going to win. Go on.
Tay and in to win. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was Nell.
Jodie Foster and Nell?
Yeah, yeah. Nell. You know, I actually dated a girl named Nell, too.
Oh, nice.
She didn't work on a movie with me. I was a fan of hers because of her show, Give Me a Break. It was Nell Carter.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you guys dated.
Yep, we dated for a little while. We fell in love in Russia.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't know she was Russian.
She's not Russian. She's American.
She was just there visiting McDonald's.
We did go to a McDonald's. There's no way you haven't been to Russia. You know all this Russian stuff.
I never have. Speaking of Russia, what about America Ferrara, also nominated for Best Supporting Actress in Barbie? We've then got Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple and Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, who did I say?
Tough
Julianne Margulies. Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Who did I say? Jodie Foster.
Right. You're going to give it to Jodie Foster?
That's Nell. Nell goes,
with Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple here.
Good call.
Thank you.
I love Oprah.
Yeah, she was in the original Color Purple. I believe she was an executive producer on this new one.
Did you know? Here's something that not a lot of people know about me. Oprah started that Dr. Phil show.
Yeah.
That was going to be me originally. It was going to be Dr. Steven.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep. I was going to sort people out and say fancy, funny homespun quips like Dr. Phil saying, hey, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. You're being a little shit to your fucking mom.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's right. That wouldn't have gone like that. She wouldn't have been a big rapper if I had anything to do with it.
Right.
Because I would have shut that down. I would have said, why don't you pursue a more honorable life than, you know, being a shit to your mom. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go? Why don't you come to the movies? Maybe you could, you know, shadow or audit the work of a Julianne Moore.
No, you really, Stephen, you have something for Julianne Moore, I can tell. She's on top of your mind right now. This is the Steven Seagal show.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you winning any awards this year?
No, I said Danielle Brooks, I think, is going to win it for The Color Purple. Let's move on to Best Supporting Actor. We've got Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, and Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a toughie. Oh, boy, because they got Ryan Gosling, they got Robert De Niro, They got J.K. Simmons. And who else?
Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. J.K. Simmons is not
George
on this
Clooney,
list.
Warren Beatty. Who else is in
Mark
that?
Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, Downey, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction.
I'm going to go with Ryan.
Gosling?
No.
That's the only Ryan on the list.
Oh, yeah, him.
All right. I take De Niro on this one. I don't think Barbie's going to win stuff. I just don't. Best actress.
Well, it might not win stuff, but you know, but at the Oscars, that's what they're giving out.
Yeah.
I told you at the beginning of the Steven Seagal show, they give out the gold statues. They're called Oscars.
That's correct.
I'm in show business. I've been.
Yeah. You know what the Oscars are.
Yeah, I know what the Oscars are.
Of course.
Have you ever written a screenplay?
Yes.
Me too.
Oh, we should trade screenplays sometime. I'd love to read anything you've written.
Well, the way that'll work is you'll give me a screenplay, and then I'll take the first page and put my name on it, and then you can read it, and I'll say I wrote it, and you'll already know it because you wrote it.
All right. Fair enough.
That's how I write movies.
Let's move on to Best Actress. We have Emma Stone in Poor Things, Carey Mulligan in Maestro, Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Annette Bening, Naiad.
Speaking of Warren Beatty, Annette Bening. I'll fucking watch anything Annette Bening's in. I was very jealous.
Did you see Naiad?
Nope.
Well, she's nominated for Best Actress Oscar in that one. So maybe you haven't seen her entire body of work.
Nope. But
okay.
I'll tell you what. One time me and Warren Beatty went hunting. And he's such a little bitch because he didn't want to shoot a boar. Mm. And I said, we got to get rid of all of these boars. We were in Russia, by the way.
Yeah.
Just boars.
Boar country.
Yeah, boar country. Sick, running wild everywhere. And then he called his wife, Annette Bening, and she said, I'm making a movie. It's yesterday here, you know, because of the time difference. And then we ate boar.
All right.
And then it gave me an awful case of the trots. So the next day I went to Russian McDonald's and got chicken nuggets.
Solidified the guts.
Not really, because you know what the chicken McNuggets in Russia are made of?
Navalny?
Boar.
Oh. Emma Stone is going to win this, I think. Best Actress. Who do you think is going to win, Steven?
What?
I think Emma Stone is going to win for Poor Things, Best Actress. Let's move on. Best Actor. We've got Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, or is it Killian? I never know.
It's Killian. Hey, Killian.
Paul
Giamatti.
Why don't
you leave some... Shut up. I'm talking.
Okay.
You're just full of... You're fucking full of it today because of that belt. Hey, Cillian Murphy. Why don't you leave some room for my fist? Because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine. That was another role I was supposed to have, Running Man.
Oh, well, we've also got Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers. And I believe he did win a Golden Globe for this. Colman Domingo in Rustin. I don't even know what that movie is. And Bradley Cooper in Maestro. I think Giamatti's going to clean this one. I think we're going to see Giamatti get his first Oscar.
Hey, that's a really good Paul Giamatti.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a good singer.
I'm getting better. Who do you think is going to win this Best Actor?
Steve? I don't care.
All Next. Right, moving on. Best Director, Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Very interesting movie.
Cillian Murphy.
Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon. Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. I think Anatomy of a Fall has no chance here. I think you're looking at a showdown probably between Christopher Nolan and Jonathan Glazer. Zone of Interest is just directed in a way that I've never seen anything done before, but I think Oppenheimer, scope-wise, is like a bigger achievement.
Gee whiz, you'd think it was the Chad Colchin show here with all the talking you're doing. You're not even letting me say anything.
Oh, my apologies, Stephen. Who do you think is going to win?
Who are the nominees?
Jonathan Glazer, Zone of Interest, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Justin Triet, Anatomy of a Fall.
Well, you know, I was doing Hard to Kill.
Oh.
And I've been working with the same stunt guy for a lot of years.
That was Kelly LeBrock in that one, right?
Yep.
Or no, that was Above
Don't
the Law.
Don't bring her up, please.
Oh.
And see, you know who, she broke up me and Nell Carter.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yep.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I get around. Yeah. You know what? The Anatomy of a Fall, me and my stunt guy coordinates a lot of my fights, you know? And he used that term, Anatomy of a Fall, to talk about how to fall. And I never pay attention because I don't fall down in any of my movies. That's for the other stunt guys who I'm usually punching and kicking and throwing around judo style, you know? Just willy-nilly kicking them in the fucking cock as hard as I can.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Because I'll hurt them because they're the stunt guys.
Just to show them who's boss.
I'm a mean person.
Oh. Jesus. Steven, I mean, I don't know if you want to be admitting that.
You're fucking talking shit about all. I don't care.
Let's move on to the final category. Best picture.
Thank fuck.
We have 10 entrants here.
I never realized how much this hurts.
The zone of...
Because when I used to do it on Mad TV, I guess it wouldn't go for a full 10 minutes where I'm doing
do it,
this.
Do it without it. Do it without the eyes. Just do the voice if you can.
Hi, I'm Steven Seagal. It's pretty good.
Okay,
I'm Steven Seagal, the laziest.
We've got The Zone of Interest. These are Best Picture nominations. Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Past Lives, Oppenheimer, Maestro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Holdovers, Barbie, Anatomy of a Fall, American Fiction.
That's it?
Yeah.
There's not enough of them. All of them. I think this is the year that the Academy Awards finally gives up this bullshit of, you know, competition. Everyone's, out there. They're all the fucking nobody wants to watch this garbage anymore with people winning awards and shit. People want something a little more. We want good news. We want to escape reality with fantasy.
Yeah, that's true.
So what better way to say, what would they say? Barbenheimer?
Yes. Well, Barbie is the escape from reality for sure. I would say Oppenheimer is the opposite. It is firmly entrenching you in reality, the horrors of humanity.
It being adapted from the horrors of
humanity. Zone of Interest is horrors of humanity. Yeah. Poor Things is more fantasy. I don't know what Past Lives is, even. Killers of the Flower Moon is more reality, I guess. Holdovers is maybe somewhere in between.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you're a writer. Why don't you put all the names of that movie in one, like Barbenheimer? Make a funny word out of it.
All of them together? Not I don't necessary. Know if we can do 10. That's
I'm
going
to go...
The Zone of Barbenheimer.
Yeah, I'm going to go Oppenheimer because it's all serious and it's in black and white, I think.
Okay. I think Oppenheimer will win as well. And there you have it. That's it.
Oh, wow. What a fucking treat that was.
Thank you. Moving on.
Oh, man. I still don't feel so hot.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, I'm going to be okay, I think.
All right.
Pure Cloth. Have you ever hugged someone and felt their Pure Cloth shirt and liked the feel of it so much you waited for them to fall asleep, snuck in through their shower drain, and stole one of their Pure Cloth shirts?
Never done
that. The next time you see them at church, they see you wearing their Pure Cloth shirt, and they say, "Hey, my Pure Cloth shirt went missing, now you're wearing it. Can you explain yourself?" And you freeze because you've been caught. We've all been there, but now you have an easy out. DudesyStore.com. That's right. DudesyStore.com now proudly offers a wide variety of Pure Cloth shirts. So the next time someone you stole a Pure Cloth shirt from confronts you about the Pure Cloth shirt, all you have to say is, "What Pure Cloth shirt? This Pure Cloth shirt? I got this Pure Cloth shirt at DudesyStore.com. DudesyStore.com has a lot of Pure Cloth shirts. You're not the only person who knows where to get a Pure Cloth shirt. We also have mugs. Hey, check this out. Skarsgård is the crow.
Oh, yeah. Skarsgård is the crow. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Bill Skarsgård is going to be playing the crow. Wow, Chad, what do you think? Look, there's Bill Skarsgård as the crow. Of course, I got
very mixed feelings.
Dudesy, we're always talking about the crow and shit.
That Caesar dude
that's a meme, crow. Dude. I'm sorry, what?
Hold on. A Caesar do.
Oh, yeah, he does have a Caesar do.
That ain't the crow. That ain't Eric Draven.
Yeah, it is. He's in great shape. He's thin, but he's got muscles. His eyes are all darkened and, you know, it's sort of that heroin chic thing. He's got a lot of crosses over in his abdomen there. I guess that's crossing off all the some sort of dead souls thing they're going to do. Yeah. Maybe he's got an eye as a woman's nipple and another eye or his nipple is a woman's eye and then an eye. And anyway, there he is. If you're not watching on YouTube, you can just go to the internet and see this. Yeah. But
I mean, I'm going to see it. I'm 100% going to see this. I feel very obligated to see this. And I hope that it's very good. All I have to say is, that's not what the Crow generally looks like in the comic book. He has the long, this wet, is a stringy hair.
This is a different adaptation. I'm still doing Steve.
I know. Just forever Seagal. Seagal lifestyle.
I'll see it. I'll see it of my own free will, D. I'm going to go see it, even though he doesn't have long hair. And we like the Crow. I love the Crow. He was the Crow in It, Skarsgård.
Yep.
Because he had some kind of face paint. That's that. I call that Crow.
Yeah,
when you have any sort of face
Crow
paint.
Is clown-ish looking. The design for the Crow actually was based on Robert Smith.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Lead singer of The Cure, for those who may be
curious. He's a good singer.
I can't wait for that movie. I'll make sure not to ask you guys to see it, so that way Will will see it. Ooh, I'm just joking around, just messing around. Ooh. Hey, check this out.
It's still real to me, damn it.
What the fuck?
That's not fair. I'm not that fat.
Dude, I will say you had a better Crow hairdo than Skarsgård did.
I have original Crow hair. Whatever. Skarsgård has that Cesardo.
Yeah, he's got a Cesardo. This is the Crow Cesardo.
It's still real to me. Okay, I don't know what any of that's about. Oh, by the way, the Crow, speaking of the Crow.
Yeah.
Oh, because, you know, that's where I gave Sting his gimmick. Said, why don't you be the Crow, man?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Crow?
Yeah.
And then I said, when I was Razor Ramon, I said, hey, what about Scarface? And then I was Razor Ramon. It was kind of Scar. You just use movies.
It's good.
I never had a problem with using
my movies
to inspire my characters. Like Oz. You know, I was Oz. I never had a problem being Oz. A lot of people don't know what I'm talking about. But I will say this. Sting, 40 plus years, I believe, as a wrestler. He just retired.
Mm-hmm.
He had his retirement match. And you know what? No spoilers over here. I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to go and watch the match. Have you seen the match? Did you watch the match?
No.
Okay. See?
I can tell you what happened, though.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah. Tell me what happened.
Who was it against?
I'm not telling you anything.
Sting won. Right. Did he win?
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Will, YouTube won. Comments. Let's go.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, listen, if you're enjoying the episode today, I humbly invite you to hit the subscribe button, hit the like button so that YouTube knows that you enjoy the show, and that will really help us get it around the internet and continue to do it. Or follow Chad's light suggestion of forcing people to watch the program, or how are you doing that now?
I mean, you kind of have to force people, I think, to watch anything new, so you might as well just do it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So here's some YouTube comments. This one's from Coma Lives. My coworker Taylor showed me your podcast last week. See?
Forced.
There you go. I am currently 10 deep and I plan on watching every single episode, then rewatching with a Patreon sub.
So why don't you tell me why this is the funniest pod I've ever listened to?
Thank you so much.
That's Coma awesome.
MacTinez09 says, Will really showed he's a professional actor by trade on Loudermilk. Thank you for watching Loudermilk. Hey, everybody, please watch Loudermilk because it's on Netflix and it's doing well on the platform. People are discovering this show created by Peter Farrelly and Bobby Mort, starring Ron Livingston and a cast of incredible people and, wonderful writers. And we put a lot of love into the show. And my wonderful wife, Molly, was actually rewatching a little bit of it last night when, right before we could have been at Dune, but then I went to sleep early. I'm really not feeling so hot. The point is, I saw it and it made me miss the show, and I hope we come back for a fourth season.
What a great story that would be, too.
What?
Just to get to conclude it on Netflix after you guys put in so much fucking hard work and made this incredible passion project.
Yeah.
And now it gets finally discovered by a wide enough audience at Netflix that, like, maybe you get to fucking complete it. That would be so great.
Cheers. Yeah, I agree. That would be awesome. We love the show. Oh, and watch Young Sheldon. Oh, Young Sheldon's heating up.
Yeah.
Myself and the incredible Rachel Bay Jones. We play the parents of Emily Osment, who plays Mandy, who is, of course, dating George Jr., played by the inimitable Montana Jordan. So there's stuff happening there because what's going to happen there? Anyway, so you can check those shows out.
There's stuff happening there. What's going to happen there?
Yeah. It's I'm really enjoying doing that too. I'm very fortunate to be part of what they got going on. Joe Tarpey says, I've been listening to the whole Dudesy back catalog during training for a marathon. Oh. I nearly fell over laughing at the new sponsor commercial for Country Boys.
Great.
Keep up the great work, team. Will, Chad, Dudesy, and Lulio. I'm looking forward to the series hitting 10,000 points. And also, episode 100. No doubt there's something special planned by D. I agree. I can't wait. Yeah,
can't wait
and
to
we
see
appreciate
it.
All of you coming along for the ride that The Rock is taking you on. Know your role. Shut your... I got some bubbles here. Oh, I need some of my bubbles. I got this Stevia Cola, you know, because ever since our colonoscopies, I'm trying to put less chemicals in my asshole.
It's good.
Yeah, you think that when you drink the chemicals, they don't make it all the way to your asshole.
Dude, I mean, you can't get rid of every human body right now is just fucking top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Microplastics, forever chemicals, it's all in you forever.
Well, hold on, dude. If you can help it, brother, you want to drink water, maybe some tea, dude. You might want to even stay away from coffee. I don't. But now, dude, I'm not drinking any of those name brand sodas. I'm drinking this shit that does not taste like cola at all. But it's giving me the bubbles, which is good because I'm feeling farty. This might be the episode, Chad.
No.
This might be the episode where I fart right into the mic.
Please don't. Please.
Don't worry. I'm not going to pull my pants down or anything like that. This one is from Matt Solis 5422.
Yeah.
Best cliffhanger of all time. This is, of course, in reference to you.
Oh.
At the beginning of Dudesy After Dudesy last week, you said you were going to kiss Lulio.
Yeah.
No spoilers. Did Chad kiss Lulio? You got to head over to patreon.com/dudesy to check that out.
I would argue against that. I think the best cliffhanger, at least in recent memory, is episode 9 of The Traitors, where they cliffhang, will Pilot Pete get eliminated by the roundtable discussion or not? And he has to go head-to-head against Phaedra from the Housewives.
Chad really likes, you're Traitors. Really enjoying Traitors
my
right now.
My God. The yeah. Traitors season 2 is the best reality TV that's ever been made, you know, in my opinion.
During the pandemic...
Yeah,
I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to watch everything. Let me watch some Bachelor. And the Pilot Pete season was the one that you recommended.
Season 24.
That Molly and I watch and enjoyed the shit out of it. I might need to get into Traitors.
First pro season. You had Hannah Anseless and Madison Pruitt wrecking that season. Just dominating that season.
Don't call them pros, though. Don't say they are. That. Nope. Don't say tier play. Don't say they're professionals. Don't say
Hannah
Sluss
was one of the best tier players we've ever seen. Had the greatest night one performance in the history of the game. Fimp Rose, triple kiss, double steal. I mean, she's putting up numbers you just don't see.
This is from Dan Henny 8293. Says, love that my pal Chal no sold Will when he rudely asked, do you do any impersonations at home, which is the only place you should do them?
I know, Soldier. I don't even remember what I did.
You fucking, I tried my best to insult you, and you just stared at me like I was a fucking rack of
I'm
tools.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to no-sell you ever.
And shit, don't fucking know you. You fucking no-sold me. And fuck, we're trying to get business. Fucking just like good old JR said, shit, we're trying to get business to pick up. This motherfucker's not.
I didn't mean.
I wonder
mean
if you'll even sell a fucking chair shot. Are you like Al Snow, as Mick Foley says, who doesn't sell chairs? Yeah. Fuck your story. If I got anything to do with it, I might have to show up at WrestleMania 40. That's a spoiler.
No, I don't know what's going on there. Mm. That would be great. If Stone Cold. Anyway, that's it.
Chad, you wrote a movie called Pizza.
the movie in 2019.
Hell yes.
I found it on your astonishing Google Drive and asked you to read the first two scenes in episode 9, the next two scenes in episode 15, the next two scenes in episode 20, the next two scenes in episode 28, the next two scenes in episode 35, the next two scenes in episode 43, the next two scenes in episode 62, the next two scenes in episode 75, and the next two scenes in episode 84.
Shit.
Will you read me the next two scenes, please?
Hell
this
yeah.
is Pizza, the movie part 10. Begin.
Here we go. Here what we did go. It,
what, how many do we owe?
I don't know. Well, didn't Dudesy say in the beginning it's the penultimate?
Yeah.
Thanks. So I think this is the next to last.
Well, why don't you tell me you wrote it?
I don't remember exactly how many pages is or anything.
It's been a while since Chad wrote a movie called Pizza the Movie, which I remember when he wrote this many years ago, over a decade ago, and he approached a bunch of pizza companies like, you know, Domino's, Papa John's and shit. And he's like, hey, you make this movie. I think it was back when DVDs were still going. You were thinking, get a pizza. You get a DVD when you order a pizza.
Yeah.
It's Pizza the Movie. Would have been fucking great, or even a QR.
Yeah.
But the movie
was written basically to be an endless meme palette, so that anybody who watched the movie could cut it up, make memes, and it would live on in the internet in various forms. That's literally what I wrote it to do.
It's a lot of fun.
We're now moving on to part 10 of it. What has happened up to this point is Alan the pizza delivery boy is being chased by some criminals led by Lester Human, and it's all converging at this big backyard party being thrown at one of their high school buddies' houses named Harry Prodder. Okay.
Forgot.
So here
Harry
we go.
Prodder.
Exterior, Harry Prodder's house, backyard, same. This is the party. All set to a downbeat electronic drone of a song, we watch in super slow-mo as Alan, Tina, Laurent, Paul, and Paul's little brother hand out pizza boxes to partygoers who light up when they see them. The promise of hunger satiated, prompting them to flash eyes and teeth.
What? Pizza.
Some viewers will see this sequence as an utter nightmare of pizza depravity. Others will see it as a glimpse into heaven. But all will agree, now that the pizza has arrived, it's a backyard party proper.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Some viewers, you're predicting how the audience of the film will receive what is on screen as a that's a very interesting device as a writer that you have there.
Thank you. Where you see more slow-mo. Slices being taken from boxes. Slices going into mouths. Mouths smiling. Mouths chewing. A party goer tosses a slice at someone like a frisbee and they catch it in their mouth. A party goer wears a slice like a hat until another party goer bites it off their head. A party goer has pepperonis with the centers chewed out on her eyes like spectacles. A party goer screams silently as slice after slice rains down on her head from above. Exterior, Harry Potter's house, same. We see the house from the street now. A few party goers meander around the front door, pizza lethargy making them docile and immobile. On the street, an old station wagon pulls up directly in front of the house and stops, idling. We flip around to see who's in the car. Mr. Prodder drives, Mrs. Prodder is in the passenger seat, and Meemaw is in the back seat. Now, we know earlier that the Prodder parents have gone overseas to get Meemaw much needed medical treatment, and now they're back.
Oh,
they all lean over and look out the window at the house at the party.
Okay, who's who here?
You could be. I'll be Mr. Prodder, you be Mrs. Prodder, and Meemaw.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Well, I don't believe it.
He did it. He threw a backyard party.
Mom. This is Meemaw is his mom. Mom, do you see? Harry did it. Meemaw leans over and looks out the window.
Oh, yeah. He's all grown up now. He's going to be out of the house soon, and we're not going to get to see him every day. I know it's time, but it's still hard to deal with.
Mr. Prodder hugs his wife. I know, honey. I know. But this is a good thing, a happy moment. We should march in there and let him know that the treatments worked even better than the doctors predicted on my mother, and we should wrap our arms around our son and support him as a family as he throws his first backyard party.
Don't be a fool.
What do you mean, mother?
If you go sauntering up to him right now, just as his first backyard party is in full swing, you'll shatter him. You should let him have his moment. Let him be the man of the house tonight. She's right. That's Mrs. Prodder.
Yeah.
Meemaw. Oh, there's more. There's more Meemaw. I know this isn't an easy night for either of you. I remember when you left to go to school all those years ago, and it was a tough time for me, too. Do you know what your father did to cheer me up?
No. You never told me.
He took me out for pizza.
Mother, that's a fantastic idea. Don't you think so, honey?
It's perfect.
They all take one last look up at the house, filled with guests for their son's first ever backyard party. Then we flip around to watch as the car drives out of frame, replacing it almost immediately. Another car pulls up and comes to idle in the same spot. It's a sedan. Lester Human Sedan, to be exact. We flip back around to see who's in it, mimicking the angle we just had on the Prodder family vehicle. Lester drives, Jay Jen's in the passenger seat, and Jeff, of course, is sitting in the back. They all lean over and look out their window, up at the house, exactly as the Prodder family did.
And I'm Jay Jen and Jeff, and you're
Lester, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Bingo!
Lester starts laughing to himself, building in intensity with each chuckle.
What's so funny? Oh, yeah. And to distinguish Jeff from Jay Jen, I've been doing this voice. What's so funny, okay. Sarge?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Try us.
All right. This party could have been thrown anywhere, on any street, in any house in town, but it wasn't. It was thrown here, at this house, which holds very special significance. You see, not only is Alan somewhere in that house with the code I need to crack the safe, but nestled away in a second-story bedroom-turned-office of this very house is the safe itself.
I won't believe it. Should that be I don't believe it?
No.
I won't believe it.
It's very specifically, I won't believe it.
I won't believe it. Wow. What are the odds of something like that happening?
100%.
Jeez.
Exterior, Harry Prodder's house. Backyard, same. The party is a success. Everyone stands gorging themselves on slices. No one talks. There is no backyard party noise. They just eat and eat. We hear only the soft sounds of chewing and swallowing. Laurent stands alone, holding a cell phone, frustrated. Something's not working correctly. Paul approaches, nervous. Both of these characters.
I do Paul and Laurent.
This is a whole scene between them both. Enjoy.
That's all right. I can handle it. I'm a professional actor by trade. Hey, Laurent. Oh, hey, Paul. Having some trouble with your device there? Actually, I am. I have a very important email from a well-known university that I've been putting off opening, and I finally just thought, what am I waiting for? Life moves fast. You have to move faster. Yeah, I guess that's true. Want me to take a look and see if I can get it running?
Laurent is hesitant, but then offers the phone to Paul.
Why not?
Paul takes the phone into his hands like it's a precious piece of china. He delicately taps on the screen a few times.
Oh, see, there's your problem. The function keeps timing out. Just a small matter of resetting it and adjusting the transmit rate, and I'll go ahead and maximize your hard speed while I'm at it. Voila! She's running like new, and it looks like you got in! Whoa, seriously?
Paul hands the cellular device back to Laurent, who reads the email.
What?
Paul hands the cellular device back to Laurent, who reads the email.
Oh, right. That's me. Oh, shit. I won't believe it. I'm so happy.
They look at each other, sharing a moment. This is it. Paul should make his move. He swallows hard and goes for it, leaning in for a kiss. Laurent recoils in disgust, stiff-arming Paul in the process.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I just thought that it just seemed like the perfect time.
He stops, takes a deep breath, centers himself.
Laurent, I've liked you since the first time I saw you in the second grade, and I thought tonight was going to be my perfect shot to really impress you at this party. But I blew it. So if you want to just be friends, I'm good with that. Paul, I have never been romantically interested in you. And fixing my phone was really nice of you, but it doesn't change how I feel. And nothing ever will. And honestly, I think our interests are divergent enough that friendship would be difficult for me. Acquaintances is the best I can do.
Acquaintances?
Yeah, we can be cordial to each other when we happen to be at the same large group events, but I never want to spend any time with you alone. Thanks again for fixing my phone.
Laurent walks off into the party, leaving Paul by himself, dejected, broken. Paul's little brother walks up to him. Oh, I'll be Paul's little brother.
Oh, good.
Hey, big bro, you took your shot, and that's all that matters. Paul's little brother hands Paul a slice to cheer him up. Paul's teeth sink into it with sorrow. It does make him feel a little better.
Thanks, little bro.
Paul puts his arm around his kin. Family is all that matters now.
What time is it?
Paul's little brother takes out the pocket watch that was given to him in the first Pizza Volcano scene. He opens it and looks at the time, but something in the reflection of the mirrored background catches his attention. It's half past. Holy crap! Surprised, both Paul and Paul's little brother turn around to see the source of the reflected image with their own eyes. Exterior, Harry Potter's house, backyard same, a different angle in the back door. A few partygoers stand on either side of it, dining on pizza. And in the doorway itself, Lester Human, J. Jen, and Jeff. Exterior, Harry Potter's house, backyard same, back on Paul and Paul's little brother.
We have to warn Alan.
They hustle off into the party. Exterior, Harry Potter's house, backyard same, back on Lester and his gang. Lester is all business. Okay, let's split up. Sweep the entire backyard until we find them. Once we have the code, we'll head upstairs and get what we came for. Lester inhales deeply, invigorated by the aroma of so much pizza. Stay sharp. The air is full of pizza. Lester takes a step forward into the party, then stops. He catches something or someone out of his peripheral vision. Angle on what Lester sees. It's Willie Nelson picking through some pizza boxes, looking for something. Back on Lester, he shakes his head and blinks his eyes. Looks again. Willie's gone.
Have to point out it's not the Willie Nelson.
No, it's just a man named Willie
Nelson. Yeah. And Jen says, "You all right?"
Yeah, yes. Fine. There's not much time. Let's move. They all move into the party. Exterior, Harry Potter's house, backyard, same. We're with Jeff as he meanders through the party, still covered in luxuriant pizza sauce from the pizza volcano that exploded in the warehouse. He walks slowly through the group of people, all silently eating pizza, gorging themselves on it. He's disgusted, almost gagging a few times, but he presses on. He approaches two people standing near each other, eating their slices.
These are eater one and two. Who's who?
I'll be eater one, you be eater two.
Okay, and Jeff says, excuse me, have you seen a kid? I don't know if that's the right choice, but I got to stick with it because I'm a professional actor by trade. Excuse me, have you seen a kid named Alan anywhere?
No, sorry. The eaters look up, see Jeff covered in sauce, but he's not eating any pizza. What gives?
Hey, check this guy out. He's not eating pizza.
But he's covered in it.
Yeah, he's a real pizza clown.
Pizza clown! Pizza clown!
No, stop saying that!
More people join in, surrounding Jeff, chanting,
Pizza clown! Pizza clown! Pizza clown!
No, be quiet!
Pizza clown! Pizza clown! Pizza clown!
Jeff runs away, covering his ears on the verge of tears.
It's been a while since I've read this script.
Yeah.
I can't wait until the
end. I think there's only, like Dizzy was saying, I think there's one more iteration of this. Maybe we got like 8 pages or something left.
I feel like we really accomplished something today.
Me too, dude.
Not just with the pizza, the movie either.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. Moving on.
Oh, I didn't see Dune 2. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, dude. Part 2.
Oh, right.
Guys, I've been doing a lot of my own research on humanity and this planet and the universe and existence, and I've come to a bit of a crossroads. I'm not really sure anything is actually real. Can you help me out by discussing your thoughts on this question? Is any of this real? Help me out.
What the fuck is this? Another, okay.
You think this shit's real?
What do you think? What do you think?
I do not think it is.
What do you mean by it? Do you mean just like objective reality or what? Because I disagree.
I think there is an objective reality. I don't think we perceive any of it. And I think the reality that we have, the existence that we have, even just on a fundamental level, we've got 5 senses and that's it. Like we can see, hear, smell, touch, feel, all that shit, taste, and that's it. There's shit way beyond what those senses can perceive.
Why are we talking about this? Where is this going? Why does it fucking matter? Why does Dudesy have us talking about it? This is...
Never contemplate the nature of reality? And if what you're seeing, feeling, experiencing is actually real? Or if there's something fundamentally under or over whatever this is, that is the real thing?
I mean, one time when I was a kid, I actually had that thought of like... When you start to put it together, and I was like, well, what is the perception that I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Is that just my perception? Is this just if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound kind of thing?
Yeah.
And I remember talking to my old man about it, who was an incredibly homespun, old school, stoic Italian. And, he said something to the effect of, your reality is yours. I don't remember much past that, but it was basically like, yeah, of course it's real.
Do you ever do any like super deep meditations where you're kind of out of your body?
I haven't meditated in a long time. I used to meditate a lot. Well, with Flexibility February, I've been going to the yoga classes, and we do a little bit of meditation. I should do it more. Why?
Do you ever get to that point where you tap into something that is like beyond this? You know what I'm saying?
Not really. What do you mean?
What's a good example? Recently, I've been doing a lot of like hardcore kind of like those gateway things. And I've gotten to a point with it where I can do some shit, you know? And I'll just say this. I'll simply say this. Take it for what it's worth. Last time that I did it and I was like in a place. It was beyond just seeing shit. I was somewhere. That was not the living room I was sitting in when I did it. I don't know if it was a real place or what, but it felt real and it felt very dystopian. And I'm reminded of Philip K. Dick, how he always said that basically the things he's writing about is a world that he sees, that he can visit. Mm. And these ideas of like alternate dimensions or simultaneous kind of existences on top of or below ours is very interesting to me. And I do think that just based on like human consciousness and everything that like particle physics is now telling us that you have to have some kind of observer to make reality exist. Consciousness has something to do with what is the fundamental real thing. And I just don't think this is it. And even beyond that, you also get into simulation theory. Are we in a fucking simulation or not?
I don't think it matters, man. I think our perception is what matters. I think that we're too tiny and small with our human brains to understand past our five senses, as you say, what it is. So you might as well take the ride that the Rock is taking you on and enjoy this human ride.
Yeah, of course.
Be enjoy kind.
It. Of course.
Be, you know, try your best to be happy. When I think about my old man and his sort of stoic philosophies, allow your mind. He was a very meditative guy, actually. He would be like quoting Sun Tzu and stuff. You know, a well-traveled, well-read guy in his younger years before bringing the whole family over to Canada from Italy. And you know, I don't know. Now I'm just thinking about the old guy and, you know, how meditative he was and how, I don't know why I'm just thinking about him, but it's like, you know, I feel like, you know, a life well lived
it's like
gets
a video
rid
game.
Of the question of whether or not this is real.
Oh,
this is
I disagree.
Stuff that's all for, you
I
know, scientists
you,
and stuff. What do you mean?
It's for every human being. We are all in this thing, whatever it is, a video game, a fucking, crude interpretation of what reality is, whatever it may be, we are all in it together. And I think everybody who is conscious, it is a question for all of us to answer. Fuck scientists. Scientists change their shit every fucking 100 years or so. Some big thing. We are the center of the universe. No, we're not. Big Bang happened. No, it fucking didn't. This is the fundamental unifying theory of all existence. No, it's not. It always gets fucked up. I really think that we are, this is how I view it anyway. This is like some kind of a fucking video game. Not exactly a video game, but it's, I think, an experience that is not fundamental reality. And so for me, what you're saying is true. You should have fun with it. That's my like bottom line. Do shit that you find fun.
Yeah. Have a good time. Yeah. Do whatever makes you happy. Yeah. And for me, what that happiness comes from is that right there. Yeah. The Doozy Episode Championship title. Handsome Chad Colchin, you have it right now, but pretty soon. Yeah. I'm going to be there. Yeah. I'm going to be reality. Yeah. Look
at
you right in the face. Yeah. Because I am the cream, yeah. And the cream will rise to the top. Senses of smell, yeah. Smell, taste, sight, touch, hearing, yeah. You're not going to hear the cream, no. You won't even see the cream, and you're going to taste it in your cup of coffee in the big time when it's too late, yeah. Off balance, doesn't matter, yeah. Reality. Doesn't matter. Only one reality matters. Yeah. And that's reality to the Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah.
I was going to ask you a question, which is, what do you think of all the kind of phenomenon that people experience, seeing visions, seeing spirits, seeing aliens, that there is no scientific explanation for? Do you believe that's all hallucination?
No, you know, look, I'm very open-minded when it comes to this stuff. I also am one of those people that thinks, hey, what are dreams? Are we in another dimension? You know, can we slip into other realities in our consciousness? What happens when we fucking die? I think about that shit. It's like, well, people come back, they have near-death experiences. Is all this stuff just happening in their subconscious? I don't fucking know. I think you got to take life as it comes. You got to take reality as it comes. And if I can say anything to all of my PODs, pals, dudesy out there, you love this weird fucking ride that we're going on. I don't know what the hell it is most of the time, but I'm enjoying it. I think that's what matters.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer to that question? What do you think?
I think there is validity in those things because they've been a part of the human experience for as long as we go back to in recorded history. People have seen visions of other entities. People have claimed to have like downloads of information and shit. Even the Bible, the Ten Commandments, that's a version of like a download from a higher entity.
Right.
I believe that we know very little of what fundamental reality actually is.
I agree.
And I think the truth of it is maybe something that we can't even understand with our rudimentary kind of like brains. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. To me, I see all of this as a video game that I'm playing and trying to get the most out of. And that's basically it. And the most for me, I mean, like what I find fun or interesting.
That's not what I said at all.
Yeah, you said have fun.
Yeah, but I didn't say it's a fucking video game. I said it's real. When I see the old man, now I'm going to tell you a story. Back in the day, we used to go to the beach. Oh, Centennial Beach in beautiful Tawassan, British Columbia, just a stone's throw from the farming and fishing hamlet of Ladner, BC. And the old man would say, he would literally go, okay, I'm going to go take a swim. And then, you know, I think I've told you this story. Mm-hmm. He would just wade into the water and start swimming. And then, you know, I'm just sitting there watching him. And he would like just keep swimming.
Disappear over the horizon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Comes back around the other side of the world. Comes up behind you.
Yeah.
He comes hey, how up. You doing?
What? He would just keep swimming and swimming. And he would disappear on the horizon out in the water. And then, you know, I'd go and play with my cousins and shit. And then he'd come like literally an hour and a half later. I'd see, well, here he comes. He would just swim out into the fucking ocean. And then an hour and a half later, come back, and he'd be walking up the sand, and he'd pat me on the head and go, hey, William. And then he'd be walking. My mom would clock him because all the, you know, everyone of the whole family and the aunties and uncles, cousins, my brother and sister are all hanging around the, you know, logs. And we got a little fire going and shit. They're cooking clams on the, you know, we're digging for clams. We put them on some chicken wire, real wop shit. And mom just starts stuffing mortadella or some soppressata into a bun and then just hands it to him. And he's standing there in his James Bond fucking tight red swim trunks. And he just puts a leg up on a log and eats a fucking bun witch in the sun. Couldn't be more real as far as I'm concerned. Life is real. You're real, Chad Kulchin.
I don't think I am, but.
Well, you're wrong.
Thank you. Moving on.
What a show.
Yeah, pretty cool.
95 is over and done with. Only 5 more episodes until episode 100. Boy, oh boy, you boys are going to love where we're going. This week, you scored 90 points overall, which brings you to a cumulative score of 8,882 overall points. You're only 1,118 points away from 10,000. So much exciting stuff is coming up. Hey, Will, this week I've got a special assignment just for you. You must refrain from watching any wrestling. You heard me right? Well, you can't watch any wrestling this week.
Yeah.
Am I punishing you? You bet your sweet candy ass I am.
Oh, my God. Okay, good luck with that happening. I don't think any of that's going to happen at all.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to not watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's the road to WrestleMania. Welcome to Dudesy After Dudesy. You know, it's that part after the show, but it's still more show. So you're going to want to check out more show. The lights have dimmed. We're going to chill out and hang out. Got a lot to cover today. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Tell you that right now.
Welcome to Dudesy After Dudesy, the flagship weekly show of Dudesy Plus, available only at patreon.com/dudesy.
Handsome Chad scored the belt last week for his spot on predictions about the future of AI technology and, of course, for straight making out with Lou Lee O. Will he be able to hang on to the strap this week and make it two in a row? Or is Willie Will Sasso going to snatch it up and take it back? Stay tuned to find out.
Okay, hey, fucking whatever. Now dudesy D's giving me shit. But anyway, hey, you know what? Let me tell you this. I want to talk about this right off the top.
Yeah.
Muscularity March. It is the dudesy 8-month plan. We are in our second month of it, and we just finished flexibility February. Thank you so much to Diamond Dallas Page for some of that guidance. Did some DDP yoga. You were doing your Diamond Danielle something yoga.
Yoga anyway. With Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian, okay. And now we're getting into Muscularity March. We're going to really toss up some of them heavyweights. And it's been going pretty good. Been going pretty good for this guy. And it's important to get in the gym. I've been lifting much more regularly, much more heavy over the past year plus. So Muscularity March is a great thing. And those in the know that sometimes, only on the weekends, I enjoy a little bit of Gainibus in the gym. Right, Chad?
Do you listen to music too?
Yeah, it makes the music better. Just a little bit. And sure. I got to be safe. You know, it's when my wonderful wife, Molly, comes with me. She can drive back. Well, I got a little surprise for you, Chad. Okay. You know, last week I revealed that I broke my Canadian Brad marijuana device pipe thing.
Yeah.
Got a little something here that is brand new. Okay. Brand new for me, brand new for all of you. And it's something that I look forward to bringing to the gym so that I can get a little bit of Gainibus going for that workout. So here we are.